Now, if you had to look back at the past millennium and select the word of the millennium, how would you go about that? What criteria would you use? And at the meeting, there was a lot of debate about, are we talking about the word as a word, or are we talking about the word as a concept? And can you tell the difference between a word as a word and a word as a concept? So we then were talking about, should we look at more highfalutin borrowed terms from French or Latin or Greek? Or would it be better to go with a long-standing Germanic word that took on new meaning or prominence during the millennium? We had both kinds of words on the final ballot. So the final four were government, science, she, and the. And I have to say, I am the person who nominated she. Be upfront about that. Government and science, both borrowed from French, right around the time of Chaucer. She is a word you might never imagine has a good or slightly odd story to tell. The fact is, we're not sure where the word she comes from. It has fairly mysterious origins, first appears in a written document in 1154. It's not that Old English didn't have a word for she, it's just the word was heo, not she. The is a long-standing Germanic word, and you would think, well then how does it get to be up for the word of the millennium? It's because in Old English it functioned like a relative pronoun, the way we now use that and which. So its use as an article, as in the book, is new to this millennium. So here's how the vote went. We had those four, government, science, the, and she. First, government was eliminated. You can take that as you will. In the next round, the was eliminated. And I have to say, at that point, as a she supporter, I knew that we would win because I knew that all the small word people would come over to our side. And sure enough, she was voted the word of the millennium. It's new to the millennium. It may reflect language contact with Old Norse and the Old English period. It's change at the very core of English. And many people argued it captures gains by women over the millennium. And one should embrace the chance to celebrate a pronoun. I'm excited to spend this course talking with you about words and about all that we can learn from them as we celebrate words and we study them seriously. In this course, as we explore the English vocabulary, we're going to keep returning to a few themes, and I want to go through those now, and I'm going to give you four themes that will be recurring throughout the course. The first theme is that English words are a mixed bag. They come from many languages in addition to the native Germanic words. In other words, this is a rich, multi-layered vocabulary. I'm always struck whenever anyone refers to pure English because I'm not sure what that means. As long as there's been English, there have been borrowed words in English. And by looking at these words, we can learn about our encounters with speakers of other languages. English words, the English vocabulary, reflects a history of extensive language contact. The history of English is the history of language contact in Britain, in the Americas, and around the world through imperialism and colonization, and now through globalization and world Englishes. English stands out among languages in terms of just how many words the English language has borrowed. It also helps us see how different kinds of words cluster in different parts of the lexicon. So, for example, you'll see a lot of Greek and Latin in medicine, and it just so happens on the SAT. When you think about it, a word like impediment, which we borrowed from Latin, is a kind of bump that impedes you, but impediment is on the SAT, and bump is not. The second theme, and I've already mentioned this one, is that words are powerful. There's an expression like, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Well, this simply isn't true. And we all know it. We all know that words can be incredibly powerful, can be more hurtful than almost anything. And in fact, there are some words that are so powerful, we won't even say them. We also know the power in being able to manipulate words to express what we want to say and how we want to say it. We know the power of saying something like, I love you. We also know the power of using a statement like, mistakes were made, where we don't identify who made them. Language is a significant part of our identity. The words we choose tell people a lot about who we are and the communities that we identify with. So this is again, as I said, part of being human and part of our identity, every single one of us. And we also know that sometimes words fail us, that there can be an idea that just leaves us groping around for words, or we can be trying to do something like express sympathy after a death, and we can feel like words just aren't enough.